Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. If I guess if any point or whatever I start breaking up, just kind of just let me know or whatever, so I can pause, I guess. All right. My name is Chaz Smith. I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is, I looked it up, I forget exactly, but roughly 4,000 miles from you. I'm about 6 hours from like New York City. I don't know if anyone knows where that's at, but I don't know. I'm just sitting here listening to readings, and I don't know. I find it really cool. You know, I find it really cool how Narcotics Anonymous, the program that saved my life and continues to save my life on a daily basis, how it is just tremendously prevalent in dozens and dozens and dozens of countries across the globe. And how the message, you know, regardless of the, you know, of the country or of the language or whatever, you know, is always the same, is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. And I'm telling you, you know, I've been clean since June 7th, 2015. And so this time, and, you know, I say this time because throughout my story, you know, you'll hear about, you know, everything I've been through. You know, I've a little over 7 years clean. And yeah, just about how I truly owe everything in my life to Narcotics Anonymous, and recovery must come first. And I truly believe that, you know, before anything, because without Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I have no life, you know, and I have no responsibilities, and I have no responsibilities as a father, and I can't be a good friend, and I can't be a good son, and I can't be a good brother. And I'm telling you, everything, I mean, everything that I utilize in my daily life, I have learned from going to meetings, from doing step work, to staying connected to my relationship with God, to people in my support group, you know, to helping others, to reading literature. I mean, all of it is just like this huge machine, this huge like thing where it just, everything works together, you know, flawlessly, pretty much, you know, if I am willing to put the work in. Everything I learned, you know, in the first 30, 60, 90 days of going to meetings is what I still do today. And it is. And I mean, just to give you like a quick backstory, you know, my father was a heroin addict. My mother was an alcoholic, and my sister was a heroin addict. And, you know, when I was like 1 year old, my mom basically came home one day. My father was knotted off on the couch, you know, with a needle sticking out of his arm. And she basically gripped me up and, you know, and grabbed my sister, you know, and we left where we were staying, and like, we never looked back. And, you know, and to this day, you know, I've never had contact with my father. I have no idea. I'm pretty sure he's alive. You know what I mean? But I just don't really, I've never had any communication with him ever. And, you know, so growing up, like I never had him. Like whenever, right after that happened, my mother, you know, she got clean the other fellowship. So, you know, growing up, you know, she had 16 years. And so I didn't grow up in like a turbulent household. I didn't grow up like with all this chaos surrounding me. You know, I grew up in a very loving and caring and just, you know, honestly beautiful home. You know, my grandparents lived right down the street. You know, they instilled morals and values, you know, into me. Like I knew right from wrong at such a young age, you know, but I just, I don't even know how to explain it. You know, I don't know if it was just because of who I was or who I am as like, you know, as just a human being, or if just because I'm an addict, but like, I just always felt different, you know, like so many of us, I always felt different, and I was shy and I was quiet. And even when I was around like my closest friends, I just felt like I never fit in, you know, and that's not an excuse by any means, but that's just, I truly believe that's kind of what drove me to drugs and alcohol, you know, around, you know, I don't even know, like the sixth, seventh grade. And, you know, when I was younger, I excelled in sports, like, you know, ice hockey and baseball and stuff like that. But then I got to a point where obviously, like everything, just the drugs and alcohol just became my entire world. You know, I actually shared in a meeting last night in my girlfriend's home group. We were talking on the first step, and I was thinking about when I first started drinking and how even when I first started drinking in the ninth grade, like I could not use in moderation. I would look around at my other friends and I would see how like I would be on beer four when they were still on their first, and how I always drank to like black out, or how I always drank to get as drunk as possible. I mean, even at just such a young age, there was nothing that I could do just in moderation. And that really, and that really, from there, it just would, it didn't matter what drug I was doing. I just constantly would just use it, as much as possible. And like I said, like so going like through high school, like I barely graduated high school. I would just, my GPA was like a 1.1, I think, by the time. And when I was a senior in high school, I was suspended like something like crazy, like 80 days. And I wasn't allowed to go to my commencements, which means like I wasn't allowed to go to the graduating class, but they gave me my diploma. And I remember like the day that I graduated high school, I pretty much became like a full-blown, just complete drug addict, a full-blown criminal, to the point where it just was always just about the next one, always. And up until that point, I somewhat had some type of manageability in my life as far as using, meaning like I could, kind of keep a job for a couple months at a time, or I could kind of like, not tarnish or destroy relationships in my life. But like I remember like at that moment, it just really was just at that moment, it just really just completely took off. And it was so like the next like 5 or 6 years of my life was like it was like an absolute hell. From the age of 18 to 23, 24, I was constantly in and out of jail, in and out of rehabs, in and out of detox centers, psych wards, and all that. And I, I share about this, frequently, but like I was so broken and so beaten from drugs and alcohol at such a young age. I remember like when I was 19 and I was in this treatment center, I truly, from the bottom of my heart, wanted to stop. I wanted to stay stopped. And I remember entering into this facility and getting a couple of days under my belt. And and like so many of us can probably relate, when I first would get the drugs out of my system, and maybe I was sleeping okay, and maybe I was just starting to feel just a little bit better and getting just enough energy. And then I started to smile, and then I started to laugh, and then I started to remember what it felt. I started to remember that feeling of, feeling normal, not exactly normal, but feeling as normal as I possibly could. And it was always just such a beautiful thing when like the life would truly come back, just to me, just being like a human being, I guess you could say. Because before that, like I was just always just a walking descendant. I was just a living corpse that would just, just exist and just be a terrorist and just terrorize everyone in my life. And I just, every time that I would leave treatment, whether I was in there for 3 days or whether I was in there for 45, like I would always get out and I would always use within the first day. Because I would do good in controlled environments, but then the moment I would leave, I would get, completely obsessed. And our literature talks about obsession, compulsion, and denial, and that's just the characteristics of the disease of addiction. And I would hear, counselors and, and techs and therapists and everyone like always like, tell me to do these certain things, like 90 meetings in 90 days and get a sponsor, and do all these things. And I would just always try it my way, and I would always fail miserably. And that's honestly was my life. And it was just like this revolving door, for many years. And like I said, I wanted to quit and I wanted to stay stopped, but I just couldn't. I just wasn't willing to put the work in, until I finally surrendered like the first time around like the age of 24, 25. Before that, like my life was just completely out of control. And like, I mean, consistently running from cops, and overdosing just anywhere, whether it was my mother's front porch, my bedroom, overdosing in front of like, coffee shops on the sidewalk, overdosing in friends' cars, like It was just a normal occurrence. It was just a normal everyday life to commit crimes. It was an everyday normal thing to just one of my, you know, me or someone in my group like overdosing or us going to jail, you know. And I don't want to say that I was okay with that lifestyle because I wasn't, but it was just the everyday, just normal thing of like what a using addict, you know. And I thought I was destined to fail. I always thought that I was going to die young, and I always thought that my days were numbered and that they were limited and all that. And you know, my sister ran with me for years, you know, and she was like my biggest using partner, the biggest using buddy, I guess you could say. And you know, this one time she went to treatment, and you know, and I'm still out in the streets doing my thing, you know. And I remember she came home to the environment where I was using. My mother, she relapsed by this time, she was drinking. Our house was a legitimate, you know, shooting gallery. It was a legitimate, you know, crack house. I mean, it just, people were always in and out, you know. Like I said, the cops were always there, the ambulance was always there. And she went to treatment and she came home, and you know, she instantly started going to meetings, and she was that tangible evidence, you know, that like our book talks about. Like, she was a tangible evidence in my life that truly let me know that what she was doing, you know, was possible. And I was always that person where, you know, even in the beginning where I didn't know if I wanted to stay clean or not, I would go to meetings and I would, you know, I would watch other people and I would see how they were happy and how they were laughing and how they were smiling, you know. And I truly would say this to myself, like, you know, maybe they can get clean and stay clean, but that's definitely not something that I can do, you know, because if you were stuck with the thoughts that I have in my head, and if you hated yourself as much as that I hate myself, you know what I mean? And if you've done, you know, some of the things that I've done, there's no way that you would ever be able to overpower all that guilt, shame, remorse, and regret that I have just deep inside my soul. And I'm telling you, just by her going to meetings, you know, and consistently going, now she has, this is so horrible that I don't know, but she has like 18 years clean. And what's crazy is that we actually had the same clean date. She has 18 years, I have 7 years. And that's just the way that it worked out. You know, and I remember I stopped, you know, using on June 6th of 2015. And my ex at the time was like, she was like, you know what, if you like get clean and stay clean, like you'll have the same clean date as your sister. And, you know, I'll get to that a little bit later, but that's exactly what happened. And, you know, like everything, you know, I've had numerous attempts, you know, getting clean and, you know, and getting my life back together, you know. And if you know anything about me or follow me, you know, so I had a year clean, and then I had 3.5 years clean, and then I had 2.5 years clean, and then I had a year clean, and now I have 7 years clean. And, you know, it's crazy because even from the very beginning, I always believed in Narcotics Anonymous. Because once I was even able to put the drugs down, you know, and even like get a job and, you know, start doing things on a daily basis, like brushing my teeth and eating and showering, because these are things that I wouldn't do for, I mean, days, if not weeks. Even when I started to do that, you know, even though I internally wasn't like completely healed or fixed, that was already enough of a miracle for me. You know, the biggest miracle, one of the biggest miracles that I received in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, was even just the fact of losing that obsession, you know, losing that obsession, you know, to want to use. And because that was it. That was my life. That was everything. It didn't matter. I mean, I always was thinking of the next one. And anytime I got the next one, I was already thinking about the next one. And I was thinking about the next 10 and the next 20, because I was so deathly afraid to be sick. And I was so deathly afraid to just not have any drugs because of, you know, the feelings that came along with it. And, you know, I get the question asked a lot about, like, you know, like, well, what drove you to use? Like, if you were in the rooms and you, you know, you were working steps and, you know, and you were doing this, you know, like, why did you relapse so many times? And, for me, I think it's pretty basic and pretty simple. We're all different, we all differ in degree of sickness and rate of recovery, but I think a lot of times that I fell short, it was, I just could not handle the feelings that I was currently feeling at that moment. And the feelings that I was feeling at that moment, usually more than once, were always dealing with the end of a relationship, dealing with the end of a relationship with a significant other. And there was either even times where, I had girlfriends and, they either relapsed or they weren't, or they weren't really even addicts, but then they started using. And then I just was around drugs, and I just was around like bad situations, or I was, found myself either in bars, or I can't even say that like I liked the lifestyle, but even more along the lines of maybe even just living the lifestyle. And that's how quick it would be. And I remember the time that I had 3.5 years clean, and how I ended up using that night. And when I woke up that morning, like if you told me that I was going to use that day, I would have been like, you're crazy. But that's how quick it was. You know what I mean? I remember I was dating this girl, and I knew she was cheating on me, and I couldn't prove it. And she mentioned something about Oxy-80s, and I was like, let's go. And that was it, and that's how quick it was. And like, don't get it twisted though. Before that, like, I stopped calling my sponsor. I stopped going to meetings. You know what I mean? I already was in such a depressive state from everything that I was dealing with. And it was just, they talk about the relapse comes way before the actual physical action. Like, that was one incident in my life where like I could see it step by step in hindsight, looking back, like, okay, that's where it started. And the end result, is always the drugs. And fast forward, to the last time that I've used, like I said, I had a year clean, and then I used, for like 4 days, and I used, a substantial amount of drugs. And I remember vividly, I was in my room, and I was hanging out with, I was living with my friend Matt at the time. And like I said, I didn't have a death wish, and I didn't want to die or anything like that. But I remember, like, pleading with God, like, if this next shot does not kill me, I will get clean. And I share about this all the time because this was really my life. But like, I was truly on the verge of death. But I could not stop myself from mixing up another one. And I think we all can relate to that, where we do one more when one more wasn't needed. And my heart's racing, and I feel like I'm physically about to, overdose or whatever you want to say, go out, but I just could not stop myself from just one more time. And I remember I managed to get it in. I was an intravenous drug user, and I went down the steps, and I made my way out to my car, and I started my vehicle. And it was Friday night. It was like midnight. I don't even know where I was going, but I decided to go to my car. And I started my car, and I borderline went out, OD'd, whatever you want to say. And I woke up 9 hours later, and my car was still running, and it was morning. And I remember my body was just tremendously stiff, from sitting in the exact same position. And I got out of my car, and I remember I stretched, and I called my ex, who was my best friend at the time. And she met me at this local restaurant, and I'm sitting in front of her, and I have these tears just rolling down my face. And and I looked at her, and I was just like, I can't believe it. Like, I can't, like, after the thousands of meetings that I've been to, and after all the step work, and after everything that I've done to better myself, like, how did I get here again? And like I said, I have all these tears running down my face, and I'll never forget it. She looked me right in the face, and with very little sympathy, she said, "Well, what are you willing to do about it?" And I said, "Absolutely, whatever it takes." You know what I mean? And like I said, that was June 6th of 2015, and I not found any reason or excuse to use any type of drugs or alcohol since then. And you know, kind of how I was talking about before in the beginning of my story, like whenever I would get clean, I would always feel good and that pink cloud and that everything that they talk about, you know, but this time I did not have that. This time was a struggle. Like I said, I only used for a couple of days, but I was already, you know, I was throwing up bile and, you know, I was sick and I wasn't sleeping and I had cramps and I just, you know, just from a couple of days of using. And I knew in my heart, if I was to continue down that path, that it was going to be way worse than anything I've ever experienced in my life. So I did what I was taught, you know, and I started reaching back out. Excuse me. I started reaching back out to people in the program and going to meetings and did whatever I had to do. I mean, I completely, fully immersed myself back into the realms of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and I had roughly like 23, 24 days clean and I still was struggling. You know, I was depressed and, you know, right before I relapsed, I was talking to this girl and she broke it off with me. And so now I'm dealing with that type of, you know, that type of pain. And I remember I was in this meeting and I was just staring around at all these people. And these are people that I've seen on a consistent basis for the last 10 years. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't want to be here anymore. And and I didn't mean like the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I just meant like my area and like everyone that I'm seeing and like everything just like reminded me of just like certain stuff. And I was like, I have to get out of here. And it was such an impulsive and such an impetuous decision that I made, but I'm glad that I did it. I remember I seen my boss from across the room and I talked to him after the meeting. And I was like, hey, do you care if I like, you know, travel somewhere? I have no idea when I'm coming back, but do you care if I leave work and can you replace me? And he was like, do whatever you have to do, Chaz. And I remember directly after that, I called a friend of mine, Andrew, and I traveled 600 miles south of where I live now. And he lived right on the beach and he lived with his wife and his little girl. And that's exactly what I did. I got out of my environment, and I'm not talking about how it wasn't really a geographical change that, you know, that made me quote unquote heal better, but it's really what I spiritually, you know, needed at that moment in my life. And, you know, everything that I was doing up here, I instantly was doing down there. you know, I started a job with this home remodeling company because that's what I was doing up here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, I would work in the day and then every night I would go to meetings. And it actually was refreshing to go somewhere and not know anybody. I would go there and I would just say like, hi, my name's Chaz. I'm an addict. I'm just here to listen. And it was just really what I needed at that time to just get away from everything and everyone. And, you know, like I said, I wasn't really sharing in meetings, but what I would do is I would drive to this. I was just talking about this the other day, but I would drive to this beach and I would pray. And, the way that I pray even to this day is I verbally talk kind of how I'm doing now. And, you know, I would go to this beach and it would be pitch black and I would take my shoes off and there would be some nights where I would be there for like, I would pray for 5 minutes and then bounce. And then there was other nights where I would go there and I would pray for 2 hours. There was nights, you know, that I would pray and it would feel artificial, but I would still do it. And then there was nights where I would do it where I felt every single word that I said. And I felt like I was in God's presence, you know. And I speak about this often because, you know, it's still just so, you know, vivid in my mind. But, you know, I would be on the beach and I would be praying. And there would be nights where I would be bawling my eyes out and I would just shout things at God and I would just be praying and I would just be talking about, you know, like, you know, God, like, why are so many of my friends dead, but I'm still here? You know, why am I still alive? And like, you know, if I have a purpose, like, what is my purpose? Show me my purpose. And I was saying things, like this, with 30, 60 days clean. And it truly blows my mind when I look back, and it's only been, well, not only, but it's only been 7 years since I was screaming in prayers on the beach. And man, has my life changed. I mean, so much. I mean, so much. I look back, when I was screaming, what is my purpose? I know today that my purpose is to be the best possible father that I can be. And it's also to help as many people as I can. And I don't know, I was down there for like 3 months, and then I decided to come home. And I came back to where the city that I'm living in now, and I just picked up right where I left off as far as going to meetings and doing everything that comes along with it, and then I had about a year and a half clean. And this girl that I was talking to messaged me, and she was like, "Hey, we have to talk." And before she even said anything, I was like, "What, you're pregnant?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I remember I remember that paralyzing feeling of fear, and I remember that overwhelming anxiety that I got, because I've always talked about it my entire life, how my biggest fear ever was to be a dad. My biggest fear in life always was to be a father. And I don't know if it stemmed from the fact of me not having a father and me not growing up with one, but I just felt like if it ever was to happen, there's no way I could do it, because I'm too self-centered. I'm too, so me. I'm too, like, I mean, listen, like I said, there was a time where I couldn't even take care of myself. I couldn't even take care of myself to the point to remember to eat. I would be laying in bed at 11 a.m. I mean, I was using, but I'd be laying in bed, 11 a.m. at night, or 11 p.m. at night, and be like, "Did I eat today?" And couldn't even remember. And I'm like, "Oh no, I didn't. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. It's fine." And then the next day would happen, and I was unable to take care of myself. I mean, I couldn't do anything without drugs. I couldn't walk a dog. I couldn't take a shower. I couldn't show up for family functions. Like I said, I did not exist. I was truly just a waste of space. And so that was just my biggest fear. And fast forward to the day my daughter was born, like, I don't know why I was so scared, because the moment she was born, I seen how it was just the biggest blessing in my life. And it's crazy how you can be so fearful of something, but then it turns out to be the biggest blessing that has ever happened to you. And I remember just instantly falling in love. I mean, instantly, and I share about this a lot too, but like, my daughter was the, like, meeting my daughter and holding her was the first time that I ever was in love, and all them other past relationships were more along the lines of just like infatuation and maybe obsession and, toxicity or whatever. I've cared for females before. I've had girlfriends that I truly like loved. I truly loved them. I mean, to actually be in love with someone, I've never felt, until I met my daughter. And I don't know, my entire life changed. And when I say my entire life changed, I mean the things that I thought were important up until that moment, as far as like, I mean, I don't even know what kind of car I drove, what kind of shoes I had. I mean, none of that stuff mattered to me. The only thing that mattered was just being a present and loving and caring father, and doing whatever I could and whatever I can to, emotionally, financially, and spiritually take care of my daughter. And I don't know, that really has been my goal, in the last 5 years. She just turned 5 a month ago. And I don't know, I don't like to sit here and pat myself on the back, but I still consistently blow my mind that, that I'm doing what I'm doing as far as being responsible and, and doing all that. And it goes back to what I said in the beginning. It's just, I owe it all to Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, all of it. And I mean, I usually don't really mix the two, but like, I've been doing music for, now 16, 17 years, something like that. And just, a month after my daughter was born, you know what I mean? Just as far as like music in general, just completely just like, took off. And What's crazy is like, I don't think that happened on accident. You know what I mean? I think God gives us gifts whenever we're ready for them. And, being able to just be there for my daughter and, be there for my friends, has just one of the many benefits that I've received simply by just putting in a little bit of work and not using. And, since my daughter was born, I've managed to tour the country doing what I've loved. I've managed to, buy this absolutely beautiful home, that I'm currently living in now. About 9 months ago, I met the love of my life, and I highly doubt she's on here, so I'm gonna say it. Like, I just bought, an engagement ring a couple of days ago, and I'm gonna give it to her in like a month. And listen, I was that person that said that I would never ever get married, just for the sheer fact of how picky I truly am. And I was single for, honestly, I was single the entire time that my daughter, up until what, she was 4.5 years old. I was single because I just felt like someone had to be really special that was going to take time away from my daughter, in so many words. And like I said, the girl that I'm talking to now is perfect, man. I mean, my daughter absolutely loves her. She's also in the program. She has 3.5 years clean, and she's a wonderful mother, and she's loyal, and she's trustworthy, and she's honest, and she just, it is, I could not have asked for a better life partner. And it's really just by like having faith and like just stepping out on faith, and even when it's scary, and just jumping. And it has, it's been one blessing after another. There's been tragedy, and there's been bad days, and there's been horrible weeks, and there's been all this type of stuff. But when I really like think about it, and I think about where I came from to where I am today, like, it really does fill my heart with gratitude. I lost both my grandparents, in the same month when I had a year clean. And then, I've lost jobs, and I've been hurt by other people, but like, I've just always just kept it moving, and I've always just continuously just kept pushing forward and just applying spiritual principles in every area of my life, no matter what happens. If something happens and I don't like it, then I know that I got to accept it, and I know I got to do this. And I don't know, just trying to be like just a pivotal member of recovery, even in my area and even in my community. And like I said, it goes along with my gratitude. Like, I just don't sit here and say that I'm grateful for these things. I show my gratitude, and might be like a bad analogy, but like, even my house, I started painting my house, like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I just painted in this room, and it's stuff like that. Like, I'm grateful for my house, so I show my gratitude by like, taking care of it. And I don't know, it's just, so many beautiful things have happened, and and I owe it all to recovery, and I owe it all to Narcotics Anonymous. And I did not get here alone. It's not like I've had so many people help me along the way, and so many predecessors, and so many people break down steps for me, and so many people show me how to live. I didn't even know how to open a bank account. I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't know how to do that. I mean, the most common sense, like most, simple things, I didn't know how to do, because I was just so used to sticking a needle in my arm. I was just so used to sticking a crack pipe in my mouth that like, I never really learned anything about life. And it is, I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to be a father. I'm still learning how to, exist in this world. But I'll tell you what, like, it's been a very gorgeous journey, and I really am grateful for it all, the good, bad, and indifferent. And I just, even thinking about recently, I don't know, I've been trying to go to more meetings, and I've been trying to reach out to more people, and I do what I can do. It's just the balancing act of being a father, and and just, and working and relationships and all that. It really can get hard, but I try to just focus on what's right in front of me, and then conquer that, and then move on to the next thing. And I don't know. I feel like I could, I honestly feel like I could share all day, but I don't know. I think that I want to say that I really am, very grateful, to be able to speak, from, like I said, I think I'm like 4,000 miles away, and this is really cool, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity that, I was asked to come here with you guys, and I hope somebody took something from what I said, and if I don't know if you have any questions or anything, I am down to answer whatever. Or if you want to ask me privately, you can always message me. But my name's Chaz Smith, and I'm from, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jess.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your speech.
Thank you. Yeah, I've always struggled with Zooms. It's so, I don't want to say it's hard for me to like get into it, and like share with passion and all that, but I don't know. It just,